For a number of weeks now, we have been talking about the gospel truth. Now, by way of reviewing, we looked at the meaning of the gospel, the definition of the gospel, what the gospel is, what the gospel isn't, and then the mention of the gospel. The gospel includes the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we looked at that mention and the message of the gospel. Now we're going to be looking at the messengers of the gospel, the messengers of the gospel. Before we do that, I want to talk to you about the negative aspect of our responsibility. What's a Christian's responsibility to the gospel? Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 12. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 12, the Apostle Paul, he's literally amazed at the Galatians. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. He says, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that we have preached, let him be cursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach another gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. One of the things in relationship to the negative aspect of our responsibility is never pervert the gospel. The Galatians were easily drawn away from what the true gospel was. The Judaizers had encouraged them to be drawn away with that. We need to stay away from those who would press us or influence us to try and pervert the gospel in any way, and we shouldn't share a perverted version. We need to be like the Apostle Paul and refuse to compromise when it comes to the gospel. That's very, very timely, very, very important. In verse 11 of Galatians, Paul says this, for I certify you, brethren, he's saying, I want you to understand clearly. I am telling you this directly. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached unto you, or preached of me, is not after man, for neither I received it from man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul refused to compromise the gospel. The gospel that he preached was by revelation of Jesus Christ. Never water down the gospel in an effort to please people for any reason. Share the pure, unadulterated gospel message. Never mix it with anything that would weaken it or change its character. So in relationship to the Christian's responsibility to the gospel, the negative responsibility, never pervert the gospel at all. Now, there are a number of perversions that are promulgated, and I've mentioned a few of these before, but I want to go over them quickly. They're still very, very common today. They're being promulgated in what is called Christian denominations, and I use that loosely. And probably the biggest one is what's called baptismal regeneration. They make baptism a part of salvation. It comes in several forms. The first one is the one that declares that babies should be baptized because if they're not, they're in trouble. But if something would happen to them, they would go to heaven. Now, the problem is that nowhere in the Bible, there just isn't any place in the Bible or in any place in the New Testament that says anything about sprinkling babies. Quite the contrary to that. In fact, Acts chapter 8, 35 through 38 clearly states who should be baptized. So let's look at Acts 8, 35 through 38. in Acts chapter 8, a very familiar passage, I hope, to you. And Philip opened his mouth at the same scripture, that was Isaiah, that the Ethiopian was reading, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they came on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized?" Why shouldn't I be baptized? What's stopping me from being baptized? That's what the Ethiopian eunuch said. Now, I want you to note Philip's answer. Oh, by the way, it is in our Bible, but many of the modern versions of the Bible, it's not there. Now, Philip said, and look at this. If thou, what's the next word? Believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. So the question is answered once for all. It's a direct question. You can't confuse the question. Here's deep water. What stops me from being immersed? Because the word baptized means to plunge, to dip, or submerge. What stops me from being submerged? Didn't say what stops me from being rantized or sprinkled. What stops me from being submerged? And when he gave his testimony of salvation, that is what qualifies a person to be biblically baptized. I'm not telling you anything new. But you see, there's so many who get the cart before the horse. They say they sprinkle little kids because then if they would die, they would go to heaven. No, no, no. We're going to see that the Lord Jesus Christ clearly contravened that need in Luke chapter 18, verse 15 and 16. Turn with me to Luke chapter 18, verse 15 and 16. Do little kids, little children, little toddlers, do they have to have water sprinkled on their head so that if something happens to them, they go to heaven? Was that the teaching of the Scripture? Well, I declare unto you emphatically, no, that's not at all the teaching of the Scripture. You can't find it in the Scripture at all. But here is what the Lord said, and I want you to look at this. In verse 15 of Luke chapter 18, "And they brought unto him also infants. And he said, take them down and sprinkle them." Is that there? No. "And they brought unto him also infants, that he should touch them. And when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." If something happens tragically to your preborn baby and it dies, your newborn baby and it dies, your little baby before it comes to the age of accountability and it dies, if they don't have water on their head, will they go to heaven? There's nothing in here that says water about it at all. The fact of the matter is that Christ took care of that. Christ died for our sin. That's original sin. And he died for our sins. That's our sins that we do by choice when we come to that age of accountability. He says, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. You can try and twist and you can try and turn, but there is no place in the Bible that says anybody should be sprinkled. Only believers are to be baptized, and they're to be baptized by immersion. And if something happens to little infants, they go to heaven because Jesus Christ said, for such is the kingdom of heaven. There's so much perversion in relationship to that aspect that just don't follow it. It is clear, it is written in plain English, Christ said heaven is populated with little children. No, baptism was not called for and baptism was not performed. You can read it forwards, backwards, sideways. You can turn your Bible upside down. You can stand on your head. It'll still say the same thing. It just doesn't tell you. But there's a second twist. And this twist has to do with those churches who say that your salvation is not complete. until you are baptized. Basically, what they're saying is that Jesus Christ's atonement on the cross of Calvary wasn't enough. And you know what? That's bunk. They quote Mark 16:16a. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Seldom do they mention the last half of the verse, which clarifies the first half. That is a little bit strange in its wording. The last half of the verse says, but he that believeth not shall be damned. The whole issue is belief. What this verse is actually saying, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you ought to be baptized. That's what it's saying. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you ought to be baptized. Not to be saved, because it answers in the second half of the verse, if you don't believe, you're what? Damned. Okay? That's really clear. If baptism were necessary for salvation, Christ would have made that clear, and so would his apostles, and you wouldn't have to just lay a false teaching on the misinterpretation and misreading of one little verse. There's a third doctrinal twist relating to baptism, and not too far from us, if you had a good strong bow shot, you might be able to land one in the roof. Well, that would be a good long bow shot, but anyway. The third one is the Jesus-only movement. The United Pentecostals, particularly, they say that only those who are baptized in the name of Jesus are truly saved. Now, they completely ignore Matthew 28:19-20. Turn with me to Matthew 28:19-20. The very words of our Lord Jesus Christ. They just kind of scratch those out and it says, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. They completely ignore that. They say that only those who are baptized in the name of Jesus are truly saved. Being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is no good to them. And here's what they use. I just want you to know what they use. We need to prove Scripture with Scripture. In Acts 2:38, it says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is where they get baptizing in Jesus' name. All that means is you baptize by the authority that Jesus Christ gave back in Matthew when he said it. Matthew 28:19-20. He told his disciples to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. There's no contradiction here. Now, let me illustrate a little bit further. Let's say that you wanted to drive out the north driveway when you head home, but at the end of the driveway there is a fellow who holds up his hand and says, stop! You could say to your wife, I came in that driveway and I intend to go out that driveway. This car is bigger than he is, so I will go slowly, and either he will move or I will steer around him. And as you approach closer, you see there's something in the palm of his hand. And it's an Oak Creek police officer's badge. And he says, stop! In the name of the law! You would scratch your head a little bit and say, maybe I'm not going to go out this driveway. Why? It's because of the authority that is given to him in the law. The principle is the same in Acts chapter 2. When they were told to baptize in the name of Jesus, what they were being told was, Jesus gives you the authority to baptize, so baptize people. Go out and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. It is not saying that, no, that baptism is no good. That is not at all what it is saying. You know, the same people who have messed up this area in the doctrine of baptism also mess it up further in the gospel by claiming that if you are truly saved, you will come out of the water babbling in tongues. Now, I defy anybody to show me that either in the scripture. And I have been told very clearly face to face, and I live three houses down here, that this because I had not been baptized in the name of Jesus, and because I had not spoken in tongues, that I was not saved. I want to tell you something. I'm saved. You know why I'm saved? Because I've called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've trusted in His death, burial, and His resurrection. And that is exactly what the gospel is. And as we've gone through the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it doesn't say anything about baptism. It doesn't say anything about baptizing or babbling in tongues. It just doesn't say anything about that. And there's many other places that talk about that too. I'll tell you what, the atonement is complete. When Jesus Christ died for our sins, He was buried and He rose again, and now He's ascended into heaven. God even said that this was His beloved Son in whom He is well pleased when He's baptized. He put His hand on Him at the beginning. And then when Jesus Christ raised from the dead, He was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection of the dead. So your salvation rests in Jesus Christ in the belief of the gospel. And that's it. Period. And anything else is perverted. So you need to stick with the simple gospel. You know, there's one more thing I think I'd want to share with you. Some believers, in an effort to be tactful, water down the gospel thinking it will be more readily received. You know, good works, you know, they add it and kind of give a nod to it and all that kind of stuff. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being tactful. But I am saying very, very clearly, it is wrong to compromise the gospel message for anything and with anything. Remember, the gospel is not going to be palpable to everyone. So don't try to make it palatable. Just make it clear. Just make it clear. Be tactful, but do make it clear. There's a second thing, and I've got time to deal with it. The second thing is, and the first one is, don't pervert the gospel. The second one is, never be ashamed of the gospel. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1 and verse 6. We do need to pray for boldness. Sometimes we suffer from spiritual lockjaw. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans 1, 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Don't be ashamed of it. "I'm not ashamed," Paul said, "of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." You know, there are people, and if you do any amount of witnessing, you know this, regardless of how kind you are, how sweet you are, how much you smile, what a good personality you have, there are people who just don't like the gospel message. I had one guy, it's been about 3 months ago, and I was talking with him. I pulled out a gospel tract, and he said, "Don't!" He evidently, somebody else had witnessed to him. he basically saying, "I don't want to hear it. Just don't. There's some people who just don't like to hear the message. You know why? I'll tell you why. When the gospel message is presented, it makes them feel guilty. For sinners love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And they hate that. And that was the case in Acts chapter 7. Now turn with me to Acts chapter 7. Now, Stephen is preaching about Jesus Christ being the Messiah. And he's going to it. Stephen was preaching that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, and he told the Jews that their forefathers had slain the prophets who spoke of Christ coming, and indeed they had even slain Christ. And what was their response to his straight preaching? Well, I can tell you this, that they were not happy campers. Verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. I mean, they really let him have it. They just railed on him. Then we look at 57 and 58. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. You know, they cried out, we don't want to hear it, we don't want to hear it, we don't want to hear it, no, no. They plugged their ears, that's what stop their ears mean. And they ran on him with one accord and they cast him out of the city. If you go to Jerusalem, one of the places that you go out in, you can go out in. We went in all the gates that were open, St. Stephen's Gate, and they believed that that was the area where Stephen was stoned to death. Paul held their garments while they rocked Stephen to sleep with the real rocks. And they stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. He told it straight. You can read the whole sermon there. I mean, he didn't mince any words. He didn't compromise the gospel. He just told them Christ was the Messiah. You killed the prophets. You killed Jesus. You're responsible. You're in big trouble. And they didn't want to hear a word of it. They didn't want that responsibility. Now, sadly, too many Christians, out of fear of rejection or persecution, are ashamed of the gospel. They're intimidated into silence by those around, they're antagonistic. Those people around them are antagonistic to the life-giving message, and so they hold their peace. Really, Peter found himself in that place in Mark chapter 14. 66 through 72, Peter denies the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember that? And Peter was willing to die for the Lord Jesus Christ a little bit earlier in the Garden of Gethsemane. He drew his sword and he was trying to lop off Malchus's head and he missed and got his ear. Jesus says, no, it's not the time or place. Healed in Malchus's ear. And then when they go to outside of Caiaphas' palace there, and he has a chance to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. He denies Jesus three times. Now, thankfully, the Lord restored him, and we need to be more like the Peter of Acts chapter 5. Turn with me to Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, down in verse 17... Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. They just were really ticked off at Peter and the group of those that were with him, and they laid their hands on the apostles and they put them in prison. It goes on now, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison door and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of life. They were rescued by our angel. They'd been put in prison for preaching. The angel got him out and said, go back and do it again. And when they heard that they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught, but the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called a council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they found them not in the prison, and they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety. There they were. The prison is shut. The guards are standing at the door, and the keeper standing without the door. But when we had opened, we found no man therein. Well, that made the high priest a happy camper. Now, when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the priest asked them, saying, now watch this, did not we straightly, clearly, you couldn't have missed it, did not we straightly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood on us. Well, they're the ones who said, his blood be on us and our children. You know, they're changing their story now. Oh, goodness, politicians do that, don't they? Then Peter, watch this, and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And you know what he does? You watch now. He launches into a sermon right there. He shares them right there. He says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus Christ, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. They just told him, don't preach, don't preach, don't preach. And they said, forget it. God told us we're supposed to. That's our commission. We're ambassadors for Christ. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Now verse 33. Hang on, it's not done yet. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart. You know what they did? And took counsel to slay them. We're going to shut them up one way or the other. They didn't, even though they said his blood be on us and our children, we'll take Barabbas, we'll take the worst thief, but we don't want this Jesus. He's spoiling everything for us. Well, they thought they had it cared for when they killed Christ. Mm-mm. Because you know how the gospel gets to the next generation? You and me. Then stood there up one of the council, a Pharisee, his name Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, put them out a little bit. And he said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be someone, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. Now look what he says. For if this counsel or work or this work be of men, it will come to naught. Smart guy here. Don't kill him. You make martyrs out of him. Make it worse. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it. Lest happily ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beat them, they agreed, but they're going to beat them. So they beat them. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And I'm sure because they beat him that they just kept their mouth shut. Well, no, I don't think so. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And look at what happened. Look at what happened. Daily, in the temple, and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. You see, don't be ashamed of the gospel. I've had people yell at me all the way down the street and curse me when I've been witnessing. A lady got in the car and follows three houses down, cursing and swearing as we knocked on doors. So this is years ago when I was in Bible college doing it. I was picked up in a trailer park for going door to door, giving out gospel tracts. The police chief of the town came, and I said, what are we doing here? He says, well, there's no peddlers or agents. I said, I'm just giving things out, and if they won't accept it, I just move on to the next one. What? He said, well, yeah, I guess you're right. But he took me out and dropped me off and said, I just don't want you to do that. I went back up and finished the trailer court. But the point is that's about as bad as I've had it so far. I was threatened to be arrested because I was giving out literature outside of one of the abortion clinics. People don't like it, but friends, we haven't experienced anything like the apostles did. I haven't ever been beaten for the gospel. Hope never to be. But if it happens, you know what they did? They say, oh, I'm going to quit witnessing. I got all beat up for it. Isn't what my Bible says? It says, rejoicing that they were worthy to suffer shame for his name. It's real interesting as we're going through Fox's Book of Martyrs. Some of the people felt it was a badge of honor to give their life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going out and telling you that I'm going to be a martyr and then want you to be a martyr. But what I am saying to you very clearly, me and you and everybody else, is we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. We just shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. It may cost us something. But nonetheless, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5, whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, which is the image of Christ, should shine unto them. The devil wants us to keep our mouth shut because you know how the gospel is propagated? By you, us, collectively. He didn't use the angel. He could have. He used the angel to get the apostles out to go and preach. He could have sent the angel, but no. God gave us the job. So don't pervert it. Don't water it down. And don't be ashamed of it. Amen.